and it has caused this
misconception.
The full text is mentioned in Bahar al-Anwar by Allama Majlisi.
Yeah. Inshallah, we'll discuss more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. I'm with Dr. Karimi, and we are discussing, can bada happen in definite signs as well? We discussed a few narrations that support that bada can happen in definite signs as well. But for now, so far, we have seen all narrations claiming this were weak, the content, the chain, everything was weak. So we cannot rely on that.
Sure. Let me just share the full text as mentioned by Allama Majlisi in Bihar al-Anwar. According to him, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam has said, we have two types of death. One of them is definite, the other is conditioned and indefinite. Humran says, what is the definite death? He says, the one which cannot be changed. Then he asks, what is the indefinite one? Then Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, huwa alladhi lillahi fihi al-mashiyah. The indefinite one is the one which might be changed because of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, bada can happen. Then he asks about Sufyani and whether it is from definite or indefinite ones. And Imam says that it is from the definite ones. So that narration cannot be resorted to, the one quoted in Al-Ghaiba by Nu'mani, because it has some last words, some omissions, and the full text is mentioned by Allama Majlisi. So we cannot refer to the narrations to support the idea of bada taking place for definite signs.
Okay.
The other argument for this group of scholars is that the concept of bada in and of itself proves that bada may happen for everything.
Okay.
So Yamhullahu ma yasha wa yuthbit wa indahu umul kitab, chapter Ra'd, verse 39. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may change whatever he wishes.
All right.
So we cannot force Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to act upon even the definite signs. It is something up to him, and he may change even the definite signs. This is another argument. So they say that as Muslims, we do believe in the concept of bada, and we cannot limit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say that, okay, bada happens in this category and not in the other category.
All
this
right.
is against the concept of bada itself.
All right, so saying that where bada happens and where bada does not happen in itself contradicts with the concept of bada itself.
Yeah, that is why they claim that bada may happen even in the definite signs too.
Okay.
The answer to this question is that, yes, that is why I said that our viewpoint is that, rationally speaking, bada may happen for definite signs.
Yeah.
But in practice, it will not happen.
All right.
We are not limiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We claim that, rationally speaking, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to change everything, whatever he wishes. So, rationally speaking, we are not able to limit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
But in practice, because of the narrations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not act upon bada in this case, especially because of the narrations.
Yeah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the Prophet and the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt to guide the people.
Yes.
And the same people, they have told us that we have definite signs and indefinite signs.
Yeah.
Which means that if people are going to be guided, they need the definite signs not to be changed.
All right.
So although bada can happen for everything, but it doesn't mean that it will happen for everything.
All right.
So we cannot refer to the doctrine of bada to claim that bada may happen for definite signs too.
We have discussed both where bada can happen, where bada cannot happen. We have supported our claims, our discussions with narrations, be that the narrations whose content was weak, be that the narrations whose content and chain was very strong. And we also reached a conclusion. Thank you so much, Dr. Karimi, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you want to listen to our program again, you can go back to our website, that is www.parstoday.com. You can also search us on social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio. Until another session, fi amanullah and God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
in the limelight.
Amid the news of high energy costs in Europe and households' inability to cope with the crisis, European companies are also slashing manufacturing due to inflation from rising energy costs. In this regard, we have taken a look at some of the world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of RT wrote, European private sector activity in the Eurozone took another hit in October as the Purchasing Managers Index compiled by S&P Global slumped to its lowest level since April 2013, excluding pandemic lockdowns, Bloomberg reported recently. The index fell to 47.1 this month, down from 48.1 in September, which was worse than economists had predicted. A reading below 50 indicates a contraction. With business activity slowing, fears of a looming recession are mounting across the euro area. The steepest activity losses have been reported in manufacturing, especially in energy-intensive sectors like chemicals and plastics, but services output also dropped for a third consecutive month as consumers struggle with the cost of living crisis, according to data. Demand for goods and services shrank as companies and households are facing pressure due to inflation, which is largely stemming from skyrocketing energy costs. The Eurozone economy looks set to contract in the fourth quarter given the steepening loss of output and deteriorating demand picture seen in October, adding to speculation that a recession is looking increasingly inevitable, an economist at S&P Global, Chris Williamson, said in a statement. While some firms have even reported improved shipping in October, economists point out that suppliers were less busy due to falling demand. According to the outlet, input buying by manufacturers fell at one of the steepest rates since the global financial crisis. Price pressures, meanwhile, remain stubbornly elevated as rising energy and staff costs and the weakened euro offset any lowering of commodity prices linked to improving supply conditions. Williamson said, adding that the situation economically is getting worse quite rapidly. The S&P Global report suggests that the economies of the 19 countries that use the euro currency will drop by 0.2% in the first quarter and points out that the downturn may accelerate. Given that some economies are already pricing in an economic slowdown by the end of the year, a number of firms across the euro area have suspended hiring while others are cutting down on staff. The website of CNBC wrote, European business activity took another hit in the month of October, reporting the steepest output loss since April 2013, excluding pandemic lockdowns. Firms have been under pressure due to higher inflation, particularly coming from energy costs and wage pressures. The Eurozone's flash composite purchasing managers index fell to 47.1 in October, down from 48.1 in September. A reading below 50 represents a contraction in activity. The European Central Bank said in September that the 19-member bloc is set to grow 3.1% this year and 0.9% in 2030. The Central Bank also forecast inflation at 8.1% this year at 2.3% in 2024. Manufacturing activity led the losses, but services output also dropped for a third consecutive month. In terms of national breakdown, business activity in Germany came in at 44.1 versus 45.7 in the previous month. Over in France, activity stagnated with a reading at 50 from 51.2 in September. Williamson said, "The situation economically is getting worse quite rapidly." According to CNBC, Melani Di Bono, senior Europe economist at Pantheon Macroeconomy, said the latest data points to a German recession, as the energy shock is increasingly hitting the real economy. The euro lost ground against the US dollar and the British pound during morning deals in London, trading at 982 dollars and 868 pounds respectively, and following the latest PMA data. The euro has been under pressure amid a hawkish Federal Reserve and the energy crisis facing the eurozone in the wake of Russia-Ukraine crisis. The EBC is expected to raise rates by another 75 basis points when it meets recently. This would be the third consecutive increase to the main rate in the eurozone after a 50 basis point hike in July and a 75 basis point jump in September. The main rate is currently sitting at 0.75%, but EBC watchers expect that further rate hikes in the coming months could push it to about 2% by the end of the year. Sebastian Galli, senior macro strategist at Nordea Asset Management, said the question now is whether the EBC can avoid a severe recession amid an inflation shock. Aggressive policy tightening could push the euro area into a recession, particularly as consumer prices hit record levels. Euro area annual inflation was 9.9% in September, according to the region's statistics office, and the highest ever on record. Several economists are already pricing in an economic slowdown before the end of the year. However, ECB member Gabriel McCullough said last week that despite the risk of a recession, further rate increases remain necessary, according to Reuters.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
8-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
The International Monetary Fund's latest World Economic Outlook forecasts that Iran's economy will experience positive growth in 2022 for the third year in a row, in spite of tough sanctions imposed by the United States against Iran and the impact of the global coronavirus pandemic. The IMF also anticipated that Iran's inflation rate and balance of its current accounts will improve in the current year. The international body had put Iran's inflation rate in 2021 at 40.1%, adding that not only Iran's inflation rate will not increase in the current year as compared to a year earlier, but also it will hit 40% in general, showing a bit of improvement. Nonetheless, the state of Iran's economy is one of the main forces propelling Iranians into the streets these days, socio-political experts say. A sense of disillusionment over the failure of conservative administrations to improve the economy has been a factor in unifying the government's opponents and supporters inside the country. Ordinary citizens denounce the recent riots, street vandalism, and the illegal U.S. sanctions, but say that the majority of Iranians, regardless of their political views, are concerned about their livelihoods today and for their children's future. For an analysis of the state of the Islamic Republic's economy in resisting U.S. sanctions, stay with us on this edition of Iran Today. Decades of inhumane U.S.-led sanctions aimed at Iranian people and government, along with the impact of a pandemic, compounded by internal mismanagement and corruption, have hindered Iran's economy in terms of growth and progress. Some 655 Iranian entities and individuals were sanctioned under the administration of former U.S. President Barack Obama, according to the Center for New American Security. But the most brutal punishment kicked off in 2018 after Donald Trump unilaterally withdrew the U.S. from the Iran nuclear deal with world powers, and as a result, Iran's banks were cut off from the worldwide interbank financial telecommunication system.
Life under sanctions makes the country that is under it try to find alternative ways and use creativity. This happened, and the U.S. had the idea during the Obama era that the Secretary of State, Mrs. Clinton, said that we imposed paralyzing sanctions on Iran. Apparently, she was the one paralyzed, and the sanctions could not paralyze Iran. It has made it hard, it has made it difficult, but it never reached the level of paralyzing, and the growth of our economy and the growth of our production is the testimony. Of course, let me tell you that our last decade consisted of very little growth, growth of 0.4%. But during the last year, we saw a growth of 3.7%, and in the months that have passed so far this year, we saw a growth of 4.7%. This shows that Mr. Raisi's government was able to take important steps in the country's economic growth. Recently, the International Monetary Fund announced Iran's rank in the world economy at 21st place, and while it had been announced previously, we were downgraded to 28th place at one point. So this shows that Iran's economy has improved.
No sector of Iran's economy was spared by Washington's punitive measures, which forced the country into a two-year recession and continue to impact every aspect of day-to-day life of the Iranian people. Today, all of those sanctions are still enforced by the current administration of U.S. President Joe Biden.
Ultimately, the Trump administration targeted Iran's economy with more than 960 sanctions that continued endlessly as Iran's healthcare system was severely impacted under the most brutal waves of COVID-19 infections seen in West Asia. And despite appeals by world leaders to offer Tehran a temporary respite for humanitarian reasons. In the face of new sanctions, Iran's leaders remained defiant, introducing the doctrine of resistance economy that would make the country more self-sufficient and less reliant on imports and oil sales. The government invested in domestic industries, urging Iranians to buy local. It also continued to get around the sanctions by selling its oil to international buyers at a discounted rate.
In terms of international trade, in addition to the growth of non-oil exports, we also had growth in oil exports, which had several very specific reasons. We used policies that let us actually sell more oil and turn it into petroleum products, the same policy that was used in neutralizing sanctions. And with this act, we turned oil into products that cannot be embargoed. With this policy of having an overseas refinery, our main discussion was that we cannot sell oil now, so instead we should try to export technical engineering services related to refinery equipment. Since 2018, when we were subjected to heavy sanctions, the United States wanted to cripple us through the gasoline embargo. But our actions and their continuation in the last decade caused us to become self-sufficient in many refinery equipments, and we actually reached a place where we export technical engineering services today to countries like Venezuela, Uzbekistan, or Syria. This means that these countries have inactive or semi-active refineries, which we will first use our services to bring them to full capacity. And through this process, our oil is also sold.
Despite the unprecedented pressure imposed on a country in modern history, Iran is still considered as one of the world's largest economies. The International Monetary Fund, the IMF, in its latest report indicated Iran has the 21st largest economy in the world, announcing that in effect 171 countries in the world have a smaller economy than Iran in 2022.
One of Mr. Raisi's achievements is the relative stability of the exchange rate. When his government started working, the dollar price in the open market was 28,000 tumans. During the past year, this has reached 32 to 33,000. It means that the price has increased by 15 to 17%. This is while our inflation has been 40%. That means if we would have grown in line with inflation, the current rate would be much higher than this. This is a sign of relative stability because we cannot freeze the exchange rate by force. This point is very important. The exchange rate should be adjusted according to the needs of export and import with inflationary conditions. Of course, as long as inflation is controlled, we'll see more stability in the exchange rate.
Measures taken, consistent with the resistance economy doctrine, helped the country grow 4.7% in 2021, according to recent World Bank data. Furthermore, as stated in the latest IMF report, it is expected that Iran's GDP will reach $1,599 billion in the current year, based on the Purchasing Power Index, the rate of which will increase by $150 billion as compared to last year. Additionally, the IMF statistics indicated that Iran's economy is now twice as large as some of the Western European economies, such as Switzerland, Sweden, Austria, and Ireland.
In my opinion, what's happening in Iran's economy is this. When you say that the amount of tax revenues has increased by more than 60% compared to last year, when you say that our oil sales have increased 8 times, and when you say that our non-oil exports are going through a growing trend, this means that the source of government funding for current annual budget has changed.
Having proven more resilient and diversified than some predicted, Iran's economy started to return to growth last year, thanks to an easing of cross-border trade, COVID-19 restriction rollbacks, and a sharp rebound in oil prices. The Iranian Statistics Agency figures published last month showed that the country's economy had expanded by 3.8% in the first quarter of the calendar year that started late March.
Another good event has taken place domestically at the Minister of Economy and the Iranian Tax Administration. You see, in the first 5 months of the last year, our total tax revenues were about 130 billion tomans. This figure reached 230,000 billion in the first 5 months of this year. It means that there has been a growth of more than 60%. This is while the taxes from production sector has also decreased by 5%. But it doesn't mean that there is an additional pressure on the production. These are general and positive measures that are happening in two Iranian ministries and their subsidiaries. A new approach in the field of foreign trade centered at the Trade Development Organization and a new approach in the field of provincial taxes in the tax system. These changes show that there is a new trend in Iran.
Moving in the right direction last year, the personal income of Iranians rose more than three times faster than GDP per capita. According to the Statistical Center of Iran, incomes rose last year at rates significantly higher than inflation. Inflation for the year was 42%, but incomes and expenditures outpaced inflation by a significant margin, rising by about 53%. Furthermore, indicators such as the Human Development Index are high in Iran, and social services are acceptable compared to many countries of the same level. According to the United Nations Development Program, the Human Development Index in Iran is better than countries such as China, India, Brazil, South Africa, and Egypt.
These events are natural and happen in every country, but I feel that the reason why this issue continued, which is also related to the fact that the hand of foreign countries can be seen in the continuation of these riots and unrest. But even though people's livelihood may have improved in the last year, it has not been a tangible improvement that people can actually understand and feel and say a significant difference compared to the past can be seen in our lives. Certainly in terms of livelihood, it has not been seen. All right, that's accepted. But there have been positive events that I will share with you. In focusing too much on the JCPOA, the Iranian government put all its eggs in the JCPOA basket, causing it to neglect other capacities that exist. And when the United States withdrew from the JCPOA in 2018, it brought a big shock to Iran's economy.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
Human Development Indicators, published annually by the United Nations Development Program, provide broad measures of well-being worldwide. There are three data dimensions: life expectancy, education, and purchasing power parity. The UNDP has recently issued its newest HDI report, which contains statistics related to 191 countries, including Iran. The 2022 report shows that the ranking of the Islamic Republic of Iran has improved to 76 in 2021. The COVID-19 pandemic affected the HDI globally in 2021, causing a decrease in the overall index.
One measure that Mr. Raisi's government has taken from the beginning is to increase the country's stock of basic goods very quickly to a reliable level. if this did not happen when they eliminated the low dollar subsidized exchange rate and people rushed to the stores to buy the essential goods they needed, there would be lasting shortages. This did not happen, and this shows that the right planning was done, and it was done at the right time. As much as people shopped, the shelves were replenished, and this showed good planning by the government.
Meanwhile, a top UN human rights official said at the end of her visit to Iran that the harsh unilateral sanctions imposed by the US have had a damaging impact on human rights in Iran. Alena Duhan, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on the negative impact of unilateral coercive measures on the enjoyment of human rights, denounced the foreign sanctions that have affected the daily lives of ordinary people in Iran. "The sanctions have killed people, and there are several cases in my report," said Duhan. "The most convincing reason is the lack of access to medicine. Yes, Iran produces more than 90% of its medicines, but unfortunately, for doing so, they need to provide raw materials from abroad. This is difficult because we know that it is very difficult for this country to obtain, pay for, and receive these materials due to direct and indirect effects of sanctions. As a professor of international law, I can add that if there are no more sanctions from the United Nations Security Council, the international law will not allow governments to impose unilateral sanctions, especially on financial and banking systems." There is plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media. Iran sets 40% rise in exports. Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi said on Saturday that Iran witnessed a rise of 40% in its exports in the past year and a 13% growth in non-oil exports this year, despite the ongoing U.S. sanctions. Raisi said that the Iranian nation, just as it excelled in the imposed war, will also win and excel in the sanctions war with the participation of economic actors and producers. "Experts and producers are our officers in the sanctions war, and they should strive to win the battle," the president said at a ceremony on National Day of Export, noting that no effort should be spurred towards production and development of basic technologies. Gas exports rise up 19% in 5 months. Iran's gas exports have increased by 19% in the first 5 months of the current Iranian year, compared with the same period of last year, managing director of the National Iranian Gas Company said. During the period, gas exports averaged 70 million cubic meters per day, while last year's figure was 59 million cubic meters per day. Majid Cheghini was also quoted as saying by the oil ministry's news agency, Shana. The official noted that gas exports to Iraq experienced 20% growth, and exports to Turkey also increased this year. Close to 30 million cubic meters of gas per day are sold to Iraq, and Turkey buys around a quarter of its 40 billion cubic meters of piped natural gas a year from Iran. In a speech to a group of businessmen and manufacturers a few months ago, leader of the Islamic Revolution Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said the data of the past decade, especially those for economic growth, inflation, and foreign direct investments, are unsatisfactory. Accordingly, the administration of President Ebrahim Raisi has set a considerably more ambitious goal. He is targeting a growth rate of 8% for the current year. The principalist president aims to achieve that goal through boosting self-sufficiency and trade ties with regional neighbors, as well as China and Russia. But even with that approach, which includes parallel diplomatic efforts in Vienna to lift sanctions, challenges remain.
Mr. Raisi's government, especially regarding the subsidized currency and its removal, and the export bans applied to agricultural products, reconsidered the policies from the beginning of the year. Also in the budget discussions, they considered these points that the export bans at least take 3 to 6 months to take effect. And during this period, the production sector must be able to adapt itself. Besides, it causes serious problems in the implementation of foreign policy. Another point hindering our trade has to do with the issue of import and export balance, which is very serious. It means that we have to import products in return for what we export. For instance, when we export energy, we must import other goods in return for it. That is, the trade balance should be close to zero, be it primary goods or end products. And in this way, economies become dependent on each other. For example, we constantly export oil to China and import products. And in this way, economies become dependent on each other. For example, we constantly export oil to China and import products in return, goods and machinery included. And this type of bilateral trade balance makes our exports very stable.
To reach President Raisi's envisioned growth, Iran needs major infrastructure investments, according to economists. Raisi's proposed budget for the next Iranian calendar year, beginning in late March 2023, which assumes sanctions remain in place, is forecasting a boost in oil income and a 60% increase in tax revenues. Still, Iran is expected to run a sizable budget deficit. Shortage of investment resources is the most critical factor. According to recent data, for the last 3 decades, gross fixed investment has been about 13% of GDP, which is insufficient to maintain the capital stock at its present level, let alone produce robust growth. This is down from over 30% in the 1990s and 25% as late as 2011. Oil exports are the main source of investment resources, but to keep oil and gas production up, the oil and gas sector alone needs investments close to a third of GDP.
You just check the amount of Iran's economic relations with the member countries of Shanghai or Eurasia, and the amount of exchanges may not be a big figure, but in terms of percentage, we see a significant increase. The amount of our exports to Armenia, Azerbaijan, and most of the neighboring countries, Oman, Qatar, and Pakistan, and the like, has grown significantly, which means that the priority of the 13th administration has shifted to the so-called non-aligned countries.
Nevertheless, the energy market is swinging in Iran's favor. Recent oil prices are at their highest level in more than 7 years, thanks to tight supplies and concerns over escalating tensions between Russia and the West over Ukraine.
It was almost 2 weeks ago that OPEC Plus approved the reduction of 2 million barrels of oil. In this situation, Europe is in dire need of energy, be it oil or gas. This clearly shows that the bloc that owns the oil has no fear of America. Also, the arguments that used to be related to the fear of buying oil from Iran do not exist now. Because the countries of the world definitely need to buy Iranian oil. And Europe definitely needs the oil and gas that exists in Iran. Also, in relation to our nuclear agreement, our expectations are beyond oil and gas, and we believe it should have an impact on people's daily lives.
On the other hand, critics of Mr. Raisi's government believe that warmer relations with China and Russia cannot, however, fully offset the impact of U.S. sanctions. According to some analysts in the energy sector, for now Iran can only depend on China for limited oil sales and on Russia mainly for potential development and investments in energy projects, although sanctions are likely to curb that potential. Moreover, trade with regional neighbors can continue to contribute to Iran's economic growth, but there are limits. For example, at times, trade can entail barter agreements that are limiting for Iranian firms. The critics emphasize that Iran needs the nuclear negotiations in the Austrian capital to be successful if it wishes to unlock its economic growth potential.
A significant issue in the government's actions is the issue of increasing exports. Mr. Raisi's government followed through with economic diplomacy with his neighbors. His trip to Russia, his trip to Iraq and to Oman, Qatar, Central Asian countries such as Turkmenistan and recently Uzbekistan, and reciprocally, the trip of presidents such as the Prime Minister of Iraq, the President of Russia, Turkey and so on, these trips were very extensive for the period of 1 year. And as a result, it has increased our economic relations with our neighbors and increased our exports. Last year, compared to the previous year, our exports to our neighbors increased by 40% and the income from exports also increased. One of the results of the economic diplomacy was that our oil exports went from 200 or 300,000 barrels a day to 1 million, and this effectively reduced the problems that the country was struggling with.
However, the principalists now in power were sharply critical of the 2015 nuclear deal negotiated by Rouhani because they believed that Iran approached the negotiations from a position of weakness before its economy had enough time to adjust to sanctions. In contrast, the Raisi team has tried to take its time in reaching a deal, in part to dispel the notion put out by Western media that it would negotiate when it is desperate enough.
The JCPOA negotiations did not stop in the 13th administration. Negotiations are being carried out, although no results have been achieved yet. But the negotiations did take place on the part of the Iranians. We said we'll negotiate, but the JCPOA negotiation was moved out of Iran's priority. This was an important point, that is, while negotiations were taking place, the connections with the neighboring countries were strengthened. You can see this and the figures and statistics.
Raisi's promise not to tie the fortunes of the people to the nuclear deal is emphasizing that Iran can survive if not do well under sanctions, and that it does not need to back down from its strategic aim of challenging U.S. hegemony in the region to have sanctions lifted. That's all for today. Thanks from the whole team. Do tune in again at the same time next week and each week after. And don't forget to leave your comments and topic requests. Bye for now.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network in the presence of some of the students of Sevier International Schools. Here we have Fawad Haider, Hassan Nasrullah, right?
Yes.
And Hussein Ruhullah, yeah?
Yes.
And Brother Ali Nasir. So I really welcome you all here in this session. Welcome. And salam, how are you? Good, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Everyone is fine. That's great. So brothers and sisters, as you're listening to us, inshallah, in this session, again, we're going to hold a very important Quranic session for you. Inshallah, we'll be explaining, as previous sessions, we'll be explaining, inshallah, some of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Then we'll be working on the Tajweed rules, and we will be reciting and practicing, inshallah, these verses with Tajweed rules.
يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So friends, today inshallah we'll be working on Ayah 45 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Alright?
Yes.
Inshallah, the same as previous sessions, we'll be having a short explanation about this Ayah. And then we'll work on the Tajweed rules and also the recitation of this ayah. Before we start, everyone, if you're ready, let's listen to the recitation. Great. Alhamdulillah, thanks to the reciter. May Allah Almighty bless him, inshallah.
Now I will be reciting and make sure you repeat after me. All right? One, two, yes. Three. Brothers and sisters who are listening to us, first and foremost, thanks so much for being with us. And now please listen and repeat, inshallah, after us. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة
واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة
وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين
وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين
أحسنتم ما شاء الله ما شاء الله two very important points at the very beginning of this ayah. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ So, Allah Almighty says, and take recourse or ask for help, okay? In patience and prayer, okay? This is important. This is kind of difficult to understand. Ask for help or استعانة. Ista'ana means to ask for help. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. All right? Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Only we worship you and we only ask you to help us or for help, okay? Now Allah Almighty says that ask or go for help or ask help from prayer and patience. Is it Tawheed. We are supposed to. We say in the Surah Al-Hamd, Surah Al-Fatiha, we say, "Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in." Here we should ask for help from namaz, prayer. Here we should ask for help from prayer. We have to ask to help us from patience. Isn't it shirk?
He means no. To do these things. To get helped.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not called shirk. Why? Because even if we do patience, even if we perform patience, okay, even if we tolerate things, okay, it's because of the command of Allah Almighty. And also we pray to Allah Almighty. Do not pray to anything else for example, change it to a shirk action. Yes?
Yes.
So it is tawheed.
Yeah.
Because Allah Almighty commands us to do so, and we are asking for help from prayer, and because we know that the prayer is a command of Allah Almighty to do. It's just connected to Allah Almighty. It's not something separate from Allah. If something is separate from Allah Almighty, that's shirk. Look, for example, if you ask, for example, your Imam of Time, that, oh, Imam of Time, help me, and you think your intention is this, your belief is this, that the Imam of Time helps you, and he is the only one who helps you. By his own, he helps you. Okay? By himself. So it's not because of Allah Almighty that he helps you. We do not believe like this, yes? Do we believe this way?
No.
No,
we believe that even if the Imam of Time, our Prophet, Lady Zahra, all the Imams, even if they help us, it's all because of Allah Almighty. Allah Almighty let them help us. All right? Allah Almighty gave them the power. So we should understand this, okay? So now here, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ We, for example, take recourse, we ask for help from prayer and patience. It doesn't mean that we separately think like they are just separate things from the Allah Almighty, okay? No, they are connected. They are because of Allah Almighty. We think Imam Ali alayhi salam helps us. He can help us because Allah Almighty let him do so. It is called tawassul, and tawassul is not shirk.
Yes.
Okay? It's because we ask for help and we believe that Allah Almighty is the everything. Okay? So, that's not shirk. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ The narration said that sabr here means sawm. Fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Fasting. Imam Ali alayhi salam, whenever he had a hard time, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he was going and doing the prayer, doing prayers, and he was fasting. You remember, you might know that story of when Imam Hassan alayhi salam and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they got sick.
Yeah,
they got ill, and Lady Zahra and Imam Ali alayhi salam had a hard time. So what did they do?
They fast.
Okay, that, oh Allah Almighty, we fast for 3 days, so may inshallah you give health, yes. To our kids. And they did so, and yes, what happened? Yes? So they fulfilled their promise, and Allah Almighty give health to them. Now, then Allah Almighty says, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And doing the prayer is something kind of, indeed, it is a difficult thing, okay? A difficult thing, doing prayer. Except for those who are humble, for those who are really believers to Allah Almighty, humble people.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض
حياتي. How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
So guys, let's go for the tajweed rules, okay? So sample tajweed rules are here. Wasta'inu, make sure it's the word ista'inu, okay? It's a verb. And if you start from this, because here when you read it with waw, you skip that hamzatul wasl. But if you start from the word ista'inu, you put a kasra,
kasra
at the bottom of the letter hamza.
Yes.
Ista'inu. Why? Because the third letter has, Hussein? Is that?
It has
Kasra.
Kasra, kasra. It has kasra.
No, fatha.
Uh-huh, fatha, yes.
Because the third letter has, Hussein?
Fatha.
Fatha, ta. Ista'inu. Bis sabri. Was salah. Aha. Sabri, make sure it's lightly pronounced. Was salah. In the previous sessions, I remember I told you that if you stop at a word having ta marbuta,
it changes.
Yeah, ta marbuta will be changed to
ha,
and the harakat, whatever harakat that has, fatha, kasra, dhamma. Tanwin, fatha, tanwin, kasra, tanwin, dhamma will be changed to
fatha.
Sukoon. What are you doing with this fatha? I don't know. Okay. Wasta'inu bis sabri was?
Salah.
Salah. All right?
Yes.
Jim is there, and Jim tells you that you can make a pause. It's jais. You're allowed to do so. وَإِنَّهَا نُون مُشَدَّتْ إِدْغَام لَكَبِيرَةٌ لَكَبِيرَةٌ تَنْوِين ضَمَّ. Then Hamza. Hamza is from throat letters. What rule is applied, Hassan? Do you know? تَنْوِين ضَمَّ plus Hamza.
Izhar.
Izhar. The rule Izhar is applied. Izhar means as if you do not apply any rule. Wa innaha la kabiratun illa. Alright? No, not la kabiratun or whatever. No other harakat.
Yes.
So we had these expressions. No change.
Yes.
No change. No hide. No merge.
Yes.
Is called?
Izhar.
Izhar. No change, no hide, no merge, equals to the rule idhar.
Yeah,
simple. So, wa innaha lakabiratun illa 'alal khashi'in. So, I want everyone to recite this ayah today. Inshallah, we have a little time. So, I want everyone to recite. Okay, Ali Nasir, we start from you, please. Bismillah, and recite this ayah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين
أحسنت ما شاء الله تقبل الله great حسن
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين
أحسن. Thank you so much. So, time is running out and we will see inshallah in the coming sessions. Okay? Thank you so much for joining us today, brothers and sisters who have been listening to us. Fawad and Hussein, inshallah, next sessions you will be reciting, okay?
Yes.
Okay. We will say bye-bye to our friends and inshallah, may Allah protect you all from all evils. Thank you so much. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.